"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money, but are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
We'd like to formally welcome you to the rest home of Old Joe. Welcome to Bidenville, everyone.
All men and women created by... Go, you know the thing.
There's a man on the moon or whatever, you know, something. Or, you know, whether those aliens are here or not. I commuted for 36 years as... Vice President of the United States. A lot of the folks in Amtrak became my family. Not a joke.
I was on the television. I was on the telephone.
Every time I hear "Hail to the Chief," I wonder where the hell is he. Turn around and where's the president? What? I can't remember it. I was in the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping.
For Secretary of Health and Education Service, I nominate Javier Baccarilla.
What?
President Harris is a proud Howard alum.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
I got them $1.9 trillion relief so far.
Kleptocracy. The guys who are the kleptocracies. Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
And now, to give you a tour of Bidenville before your extended stay, here's John and Ken.
John Cobelt and Ken Shampo. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
In 16 days, he will turn 80 years old. Just thought I'd tell you that. November 20th is Biden's birthday. And, I guess the intro to the desk tells you all you need to know, but there's so many more clips that we could add to this. One quick reminder that Monday at 5:05, we will have the Hour of Candidates. This is what we do the night before any big election, usually November's, but sometimes we do it in June with the primaries. If you're running for any office, you get 30 seconds on KFI, free airtime. Monday at 5:05, the number for that is 1-800-520-1534. Keep that in mind, pass it around, but don't try to call before 5 because you won't get through. And don't use that back line. Right, John, you giving out that backline number to your friends again? No.
Oh, my politician friends.
That's right.
Yeah, well, you're a lot of those. Buddy. Caruso wants to call in. He'll get top of the line.
He will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want him elected.
Had 20 minutes yesterday.
I don't care. I want him elected.
Yeah, I guess it's important. We begin with this clip from Biden because we've mentioned this a few times before. That Joe, in some of his emotional speeches, the memory comes to him of his son, Beau. Beau Biden did serve in the military, served in the Delaware Army National Guard, was awarded a Bronze Star for his service in Iraq, where he served from 2008 to 2009. He died of cancer in 2015. In his speeches, when Biden thinks of his son, he constantly says, well, he died in Iraq. We're going to play you this clip where he seems to finally correct himself.
Raise your hand if you have any family members suffer from cancer. Every single
audience I speak to. I not long ago lost my son to cancer. He was an attorney general of the state of Delaware. He should be the one standing talking to you, not me. And he volunteered to go to Iraq for a year. Thanks for waving, big guy. And he unfortunately, his hooch was right next to one of those burn pits. And he came home with stage 4 glioblastoma, and he passed away.
Well, he came home in 2009 and died in 2015. I guess he could have had the cancer for 6 years.
Glioblastoma is usually a very rapidly growing cancer.
And he says he came home with stage 4 glioblastoma.
You don't survive 6 years with that.
It's not likely.
No, I've known of a couple of people who got it. And their diagnosis and their death were fairly close together.
His hooch was right near one of the burn pits. I'd never heard it put that way before. I guess where he camped, where he slept.
You know, the story is just, other than the part that his son passed away, which is tragic, everything else about the story is either false or wild guesses. There's no evidence that him or anybody else next to a burn pit ends up with brain cancer.
Well, then where are all the other guys that?
I've looked this up, and there's just, you know, there's suspicion. Obviously, there, when you live in a toxic environment, that can cause certain cancers to form. He's constantly saying that he actually died in Iraq. Look, he's not well. He's in a bad state. It's the weirdest situation ever. I was talking to a friend the other day. We were just going through experiences with various relatives who had or friends, whatever, who had Alzheimer's dementia problems. And it's a very similar set of symptoms that you see. Much of it has to do with communication. And Joe matches it every single, checks every box. And I think everybody knows this. But we're kind of stuck. There's no easy way to get rid of them, and the replacements are very objectionable in their own way. So we're just left with this weird charade that everybody plays.
Well,
do you think if he was running any major corporation, like Facebook, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Exxon? Any industrial organization, a big steel company, do you think he'd be allowed to run the company? No. He wouldn't be allowed to manage a grocery store. We all know this. It's fascinating, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, guys like this usually end up what you call the emeritus category, where, you know, because they're one of the founders of the company, they get to hang around and...
Right.
Still get a desk and an office, but yeah, they're not given anything serious to do.
No, there's no power.
I told another story yesterday in New Mexico, which we're going to play. I haven't really heard this one before. He loves to say, true story, not making this up, that he once was the poorest man in Congress, that his wife snapped at him. Jill Biden, let's listen.
I had the dubious distinction of being listed as the poorest man in Congress. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I got a call one, you know, when I'd be away campaigning for somebody, I'd call my wife in the morning before she took off to school, see how things were. And I called her one morning. I was up in the state of Vermont campaigning for Pat Leahy. And I said, "Hi, honey, how are you?" She said, "Fine." Well, you know, that's a good start. And she said, "Did you read today's paper?" True story. "Did you read today's paper?" Meaning the local Wilmington paper, Wilmington, Delaware. I said, "No, honey, I didn't see it." She said, "Headline, front page, top of the fold, Biden, poorest man in Congress. Is that true?" Well, I didn't think you were supposed to make money when you were in Congress. But at any rate, I didn't feel poor. No, by the way, I got elected when I was 29. I had no income. I had a little. I was just starting my law practice. And so, but I had a good salary as a senator. I thought that was just fine.
According to the New York Post, Biden moved into a 10,000-square-foot former DuPont family mansion in 1974, 1 year after joining the Senate. Now, the context is this was the old student debt thing. That's why he was bringing this up.
He stands up in front of crowds and makes crap up. Just invents an alternate life, an alternate world.
Well, there was a book about him written many years ago that not long after he got to the Senate, he did complain about just not making enough money, which led some to believe that's why the Bidens have gone on this spin of using their lucrative government connections for big contracts.
His son, Hunter, and his brother, Jim Biden, have reaped millions of dollars with foreign companies and foreign governments. All the stories are out there. The Daily Mail just had a run of stories in the past week. And every one of them should be huge headlines. But since now we're living in the era of dishonest cover-up media, you don't read it in American news sites. You don't read it in American newspapers. Right. But they have brought in, and what you do it in a way where Joe's fingerprints aren't on it. But the reason that Jim Biden and Hunter Biden can get all this money paid to them is because they're trying to buy access to Joe when he was vice president and as president, and even when he was a senator, because he was a prominent senator and he was chairman of various committees. So, they've got enormous amounts of money, the Bidens. I don't know where it's
hidden. They do now, yes.
I don't know.
He apparently got $1 million from the University of Pennsylvania for a professorship that featured just 9 visits to campus.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, they made a lot of money, particularly when he left office as VP. But there were some points, it says here, where he was ranked pretty low. He was even in the negatives.
Yeah, but that's according to just official statistics. And I never believe official statistics.
Oh, I see.
If his family members have an underground flow of millions of dollars, well, of course that's not going to show up on the official forms that he has to fill out for the Senate. See, when you're in public service, you got to fill out these forms and estimate your net worth.
Assets and liabilities.
And liabilities. And you're even allowed a wide range. You don't have to give a specific number. You could have differences that are hundreds of thousands of dollars. But the stuff that your brother is getting and putting in a secret bank account, maybe in the Cayman Islands, well, you're not going to put that in your Senate forms. And he's not the only one who does this. A lot of them do this. Well, it's like Jose Huizar getting 19 trips to Las Vegas. They get into public service not because they care about you, but because they have access to a wealthy lifestyle. Either they can live it in the moment or they can access money and save it for later.
All right, coming up, as soon as we return, another keyword that gives you another chance to win our inflation bonus cash money. John and Ken, KFI. AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. All right, well, the announcement that people have been waiting for quite some time is likely to come a week from Monday. That date is November 14th, in case you don't know what a week from Monday is. Who are we talking about? Well, here is part of the audio.
In order to make our country successful and safe and glorious, I will very, very, very probably do it again, okay? Very, very, very probably.
One very isn't good enough. There have to be three or four varies. So that indicates yes. And then came the reference to the Monday after the midterms, which would be Monday, November 14th, that might be the day that he... Is he going to come down the escalator again in New York like he did in 2015? The grand entrance, and remember that?
I don't know.
And the speech about the immigrants?
There'll probably be a show business element involved.
You know, there's no bigger or better issue for him right now, and this is underreported, than the border. The border's a lot worse than it was when he ran in 2016. A lot worse.
Well,
he should be using that rally point again. I don't know what
he's got two choices. He could talk about the obvious stuff that's going on in people's lives, which is what he did the first time
he should do that. That's what gave him success in 2016.
If he goes into this nonsense about the 2020 election, then it's not going to work.
There's a significant percentage of Republicans who believe the election was stolen. So,
but there's a significant percentage that don't. And then there's nobody outside that little bubble. So
I'm trying to remember the percentage I saw in the poll I last saw, but I don't want to throw out a number.
He can get the nomination and lose.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right. But getting the nomination and losing, what's the point of that? You're just wasting 2 years of your life.
I know.
If you get the nomination, you want to win. There is no path to winning if you're going to obsess on the 2020 election. There's just no way to do that because most people who vote thinks it's crazy.
But he's a vengeful guy, so I'm afraid I think that's going to be a big part
of his
campaign.
Well, then he's going to lose.
But he's going to say that if I win, it'll show that I rightly won in 2020.
There's obviously a piece of him that's self-destructive.
Yes, obviously.
There are many times he did stuff which was of no benefit to him or anybody else. Not the party, not the American people, not his causes, not anything. He just indulged in nonsense, and it hurt him.
Yeah.
So that's not going to change. Now, I don't know if enough people have picked up on that pattern yet, but that's the pattern. And that's, you know, he's going to be almost 82 in a couple. He's going to be 80 what? And I think he'll be 78 if he got inaugurated again.
So he's just a few years behind Biden.
Yeah.
Yeah, Biden's going to turn 80. He'll be 82 by the time
he
has
I think Trump's 76. Yeah, he is 76.
Short of 82. He's 76 now.
Yeah, Trump is 76. So by the time he gets inaugurated, he'd be 78. And that would take him to 82. I mean, you could tell his voice is heavier and slower, too. He's definitely aged in the last 7 years because everybody does.
Now, the other announcement we've all been waiting for is... who's Oprah pulling for in the Pennsylvania Senate race?
Here we go. This is right up there with celebrities quitting Twitter. What a day.
What's weird about this story is that the two people facing each other are John Fetterman, the Democrat, and Mehmet Oz, the Republican. But Oprah, I think, was key to Oz becoming a television success, was she not?
No, but Oprah...
But now she's supporting Fetterman.
Oprah likes to push quack doctors. And Oz was good on television selling his quackery. It's got nothing to do with politics. It's not a shock that Oprah is supporting a Democrat. That's why I don't understand this story. Oprah's generally supported Democrats publicly all her life.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, he was.
He's brilliant.
She was big on Obama.
She helped Obama, yeah.
Right. So... You know, if it was about promoting phony weight loss cures, if that was the job as president, you promote phony weight loss cures, then Oprah would be in Oz's corner. But that's not the job.
Here's their background.
This is like a ridiculous story.
Oz hosted a show on the Discovery Channel in the early 2000s called Second Opinion with Dr. Oz, and Oprah was on the show as a guest. Oz was later featured on Winfrey's talk show, rising to national fame after more than 60 appearances. See, I confused him. Remember, is it Dr. Phil? What happened to him, by the way?
He's still on.
He is still on?
Oh, yeah. These people go on for 20, 30 years.
I know. Maury Povich is finally stepping down, but I...
No, but his show's going to keep running.
I don't keep track. You're going to tell me Phil Donahue's still on? you paused.
I don't know.
The beginning of all this.
I think he's over 85 years old, so probably not.
Okay.
But I
don't think he is, no. In 2009, he went on to host the Dr. Oz show, which was co-produced by Winfrey's company. So there's the connection there.
But that's a business arrangement. It's got nothing to do with politics.
Correct. No.
You're running as a... Look, Oprah Winfrey is who she is. Oz is running as Trump's protege. Of course, Oprah Winfrey's not going to support him if she really cares about politics or if she's just virtue signaling and preening. Who knows? But besides, put that aside, who gives a rat's ass, honestly? And whose vote is affected by that? What world am I living in? Why am I even talking about this?
People find Oprah to be very influential.
Who?
Oh, all the viewers that buy her products and watched her shows over the years. They look to her for guidance.
They're going to look to her to who to vote for.
When she recommends
senator?
A book, do you see how fast it climbs the charts?
But this is a senator. This is a senator who's got brain damage from his stroke. Versus some crackpot quack doctor. What a race that is. I mean, that's like the bottom. That's America hitting bottom right there in that race.
And finally, one more story concerning an old politician. From Politico, it looks like they're making moves to oust Nancy Pelosi as leader of the House Democrats. They've been having some secret meetings to actually announce that there's a congressman from New York named Hakeem Jeffries who's going to be the leader of the Democrats. Whether she knows it or not, she's finally going to be
pushed out. That guy's ultra woke, so that's going
to
be
insane. Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what do you expect from this party?
That's right. I mean, they are going to go right off the cliff.
But she's what, 80? Is she 82
No, she's
also?
In her 80s, and she doesn't make sense half the time either. Honestly, there really needs to be a changing of the guard here. I mean, we got everybody in power is in their 80s.
That's why Newsom sees his chance.
And they're
get it.
Oh, I understand that. But and they're all half in the bag, too, or entirely in the bag.
Newsom is making the case that he's going to be the difference maker. That's why he's been kind of at odds with some of the things they're all saying. He wants to show that he's the one.
This generation has stuck around way too long. Yeah. Way too long.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app.
When it comes to a thriving career, everyone could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. At LHH, we're committed to personalized support, insights, and resources that lead to more job opportunities. No matter what role a professional has in your organization, our services offer an experience that fits each individual. And for organizations, LHH provides consultative support and guidance through the entire outplacement or career transition process. It's outplacement reimagined. Visit LHHtalent.com today.
All right, we're close to the 5 o'clock hour on a Friday. Two rounds of the Moist Line, a hack in the dumpster, which will occur between and about an hour from now. Final keyword, too, for your chance to win some inflation bonus cash money at around 520 here on KFI. I had a friend back in high school who sometimes used a word to refer to people that I guess he thought were hopeless. The word was a load. It's the word he used. That person's a load.
Oh, yeah, I like that word.
That's a good word. You can interpret it many ways, but you just think of some sort of blob of...
It's just too much trouble, too much of a pain in the neck.
And I can't help it. I think of that word whenever I see commercials for this Congresswoman Katie Porter down in Orange County who's trying to get reelected in a tight race. Orange County, they used to have a lot of Republican members of Congress, but that got trimmed back a few years ago. This woman is hanging on. They did a little redistricting. What was weird today is I went to the website for the California Globe. Why Katie Porter is the wrong person for the job. Katie Porter has sponsored over 80 bills, and only one has passed both houses of Congress. The article makes her out to just be a progressive loudmouth who is really worthless. That's why I went with the term load. And from what I can see from the commercials, I kind of feel that way, too. What's weird about the article I'm reading, it's by Alex Stone. Not the Alex Stone from ABC News. But this is a woman. Another Alex Stone.
Alex didn't tell us.
Now, a former special assistant to the president and deputy director of management and administration. I did a double take when I saw the byline. I was like, Alex Stone?
I think there's a few of those.
There's a few Alex Stones. Anyway. But the thing about Katie Porter we need to spend just a few minutes on. Number one, this story popped up not that long ago. She used to be a professor at UC Irvine. They gave her, after she got elected to Congress, a leave of absence. She also apparently lives in a 4-bedroom, 3-bath University Hills residence that's typically reserved for faculty and high-level staff. Another reason why I want to call her a load. Maybe you take that interpreted to be like a freeloader load.
Wow, what kind of job she have at UC Irvine?
$258,000 a year.
$258,000?
She was a professor, I forget.
Professors make that much money?
She taught at the law school.
Oh, professors don't make that much. What's going on there?
It's a prestigious law school.
Do we have a Karen Bass situation going on here?
So they wanted to extend her, quote, leave of absence, so I guess so she could still make the money or whatever.
She was on leave without pay.
All right, so they wanted to extend the leave so she could still live in the house? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Or so that she'd have an easy reentry someday.
Bounced from Congress?
Or is she going to do the Karen Bass and sponsor bills to direct more money to UC Irvine?
Well, it's funny you said that.
Like what Bass did to USC.
because apparently after the decision was made by one of the people at UC Irvine, Eve Maida, a senior academic personnel analyst, said she's been on approved leave without pay since January of 2019. The duration of her leave is unprecedented and by exception. Therefore, any leave beyond June 30, 2021 will not be approved. Congresswoman Porter should be advised of this so she could decide what her future plans with UC Irvine will be. Well, an email was then fired off asking them to reconsider the decision to deny the leave request. The argument was made that from the university's perspective, it would not shed a good light on UCI for a member of the House to be told to either resign from a democratically elected position or resign from UC Irvine. Hmm.
Well, everybody else, often they have to resign from their jobs to serve in Congress.
Oh, and by this is then law school dean L. Song Richardson who wrote that. That's the person behind that email. L. Song?
She has a home at UCI.
By the way, John, to your point, this person wrote, finally, to have an elected member of the U.S. Congress who can advocate on behalf of Orange County, including UCI, surely has significant benefits for the campus.
Yeah, that's what it is. Can she get us money? God knows what's buried in those 10,000-page budgets that they pass. You know, where all the members get to put in their own goodies for the district. Nobody reads that stuff.
And finally, reason she's a load is because, there was a July 2021 town hall for the congresswoman. And I guess it got pretty crazy. Some of the Trumpsters showed up. So her live-in boyfriend, Julian Willis, was arrested for punching a pro-Trump protester. The protester got a bloody nose. And apparently this didn't sit well with Katie Porter, who criticized the Irvine police. She went after the mayor, too, who apparently was an ally. Text messages were obtained by Fox Digital from this obnoxious woman.
Well, wait a second. Her boyfriend punches a guy in the nose and gets arrested? Well, of course he gets arrested. That's assault.
She didn't like the way the Irvine Police Department handled it.
No, she didn't like it that he got arrested.
Probably.
But that's what you do with people who punch others in the nose. You arrest them. It's exactly what you're supposed to do.
Oh, yeah. And her texts were nasty. You can lecture me on professionalism and see what happens, Porter said to this is to the mayor. She was exchanging messages with the mayor, who supposedly was a political ally, but I guess they had a falling out over this arrest of the live-in boyfriend.
What do you mean, see what happens? What is she
like
going to do?
I don't know.
Deport him?
I don't know.
Look at this. She goes, the mayor responded, I see that you're upset, but it would be more professional of you just to call me for clarification. I have never done anything to you. You cannot say the same, Porter wrote. I have helped you with your campaign and tried to be a good partner. I don't owe you a phone call. You should have called me with the complete fail by the city yesterday.
Yeah, she thinks she's really hot stuff.
I am a United States congresswoman.
She's just this loud load.
And then she says, you can lecture me on professionalism and see what happens. Do you know who I am? I'm a United States congresswoman.
Hope she goes down.
What an ego bag. What are you people in Orange County doing here? Huh? What is this? I am a congresswoman.
All right. Apparently her opponent is Scott Baugh, but the commercials about him are hysterical.
Yeah, he's another one.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Nothing good out there. Nothing good.
And to borrow from every political ad that runs forever, we'll fight for you here on the John and Ken Show. That's what we're here to do. Fight for you.
Doesn't that crack you up?
I love that. It's in every ad.
I know. We'll fight.
Rick Caruso uses a lot of ads. I'm going to fight for this city.
I should be
a lot. With his dukes up.
A lot of fist fights out there.
I guess so. It's getting very violent. I thought we were supposed to tone down the violent rhetoric. We shouldn't use words like fight, right? Right? I'll advocate for you.
You're not going to win anything.
No, you got to.
I'll advocate.
All right, 5 o'clock hour is coming soon. The Moist Line, Hack for the Dumpster. Oh, the El Segundo Times did a story on the Sheila Kuehl investigation, calling it dubious. That's a good word in the headline, dubious. We'll get into that too.
Oh, really? The wokesters don't want Sheila Kuehl investigated? Why? I'm so surprised. Jesus. Now, it's a joke.
Apparently, she had nothing to do with her friend getting that big contract with Mitchell.
Right, right.
Didn't even know about it.
Right. Well, she's
not even know about it till it was announced.
She's a proper woke icon here in Los Angeles. Of course, she does nothing wrong.
She's going into retirement, though, so what does it hurt to kick her? She's heading out the door. I know you're distressed to learn, John, that tomorrow night it's the end of daylight savings time.
Yes.
Now, the Senate passed a bill. The U.S. Senate passed a bill earlier this year to make daylight savings time permanent. And they were proud of that because usually some bills start in the House and die in the Senate. The House is doing nothing about it. In fact, several politicians interviewed for the article, Congressman Frank Pallone, the House Energy and Commerce Committee, said it's not a priority. We're probably not going to deal with it. A poll showed that 61% of Americans do prefer getting rid of the clock changes. And 44% picked daylight savings time to be permanent. Only 13% want to stay on standard time all year long. I don't know what happened to the other near 50%. I guess
they
don't
care. They got to go to work.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if a pollster called me up and said, I'd like your opinion on whether you believe daylight savings time, click. Talk to them. You know what I read the other day, speaking of polling? Yeah. There's a guy named Nate Cohn, and he writes on the New York Times polls. And he said it now takes 2 hours of dialing the phone before they get one person willing to complete an entire questionnaire.
Well, that's me. I wouldn't do it.
Right. That's me, too.
Not interesting. And you know what? Whenever I go place for service, they follow up with, could you please fill out this survey? When I see it's more than a page, I'm gone.
No.
Not doing it. I'm not going to spend 15 minutes filling out your stupid. Ask just a few questions. Don't give people a 10-page survey.
I won't even give them one question. You know, on the phone, they say, will you stay on the line and answer one question? No. I will not.
Well, I've never answered a poll call ever.
No, it's not even a poll call. It's you're supposed to give a 5-star rating to a service, right? You're on the phone with an airline, right? Call an airline, you got to change a reservation. And then they say, would you stay on the line and give
I don't do that.
No. And I'm not doing poll questions.
I mean, you're not getting the companies do need feedback. So it is important they get feedback somehow. I don't blame them for trying. You got to kind of know how you're doing.
You're not getting it from me. It's not my problem. It's your problem.
You're
I don't run your company. I don't have stock in it. I couldn't care less about the feedback you get. I have things to do.
Prior to 2007, daylight savings time began in April and ended in October. You might remember that. But in 05, the Bushter changed it. It now starts 3 weeks earlier and ends a week later.
More daylight saving time, the better.
The better.
As long as it's light out later in the day.
However, the Department of Energy found in 2008... that the 4-week extension of daylight savings time saved 0.5% of electricity use every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's that.
There's nothing.
Really, not too much, right? 70 other countries around the world also do daylight savings time. As you know, some states in this country do not do daylight savings time.
Yes.
But I would say, especially, we passed a ballot measure in California to get rid of the clock change. Remember
That an advisory?
It is, because resolution. This has to go through Congress.
A lot of
right.
this crap is Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's pointless. I don't know what is this debate. It was for decades nobody said boo about it, and suddenly people can't shut up about it. What triggered that? What triggered all these votes? What's the obsession about?
Probably your favorite subject associated with this, the negative health effects of the time change.
That's nonsense. There is not negative health.
I saw another story pop up this morning.
All right.
That there are real health issues associated with the time change.
Who had the heart attack? What's his
name?
They
claim emergency rooms have more visitors when the clock
really?
Changes.
Really? Is that true?
They do say that. You can look it up. I don't know.
Russia got to the emergency room with a heart attack. Oh, what happened to you? It was the clock change last night.
That hour did me in.
Yeah. Wasn't the 6 steaks you had last week,
I don't
week,
get
right?
it. The clock going back, which is what we're doing this weekend, should be a good one. It should help you stay healthy because you get more sleep and rest. And
This is nuts. People don't go to bed at the same time every night.
My mother used to fret about it. She was retired at the time, but she didn't like the clock going forward.
That's what
it bothered her.
This must be retired people.
because, well, they had little appointments, doctors, and then they did things with their clubs. And
you start obsessing on niggling little issues because there's nothing going on. I bet you when she had all six of you kids running around the house,
she never once complained about the clock.
No. It's when you're 82 years old and there's nothing to do. It's like, I'm sick of this daylight saving time.
That does kind of come with the territory of getting old. Got to find something to complain about, damn it.
Yes.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
John and Ken Show, Devin Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.